This episode of Nature of Things was originally aired on November 6, 1987.
Election time always brings with it a reminder that the season of growth and expansion in nature is past. Very few, if any, populations are increasing. This is completely in keeping with what is happening in terms of the food supply. If populations were not beginning their phase of gradual decrease, then food supplies, in certain special cases, might prove inadequate. I mention that only in passing because I am aware that cases in which food supply is inadequate are relatively rare. Starvation in nature is much more complex than that, and is frequently more therapeutic than not. What's going through my head right now is the question of what the situation was back in the days of astronomic native populations. Take the bison, for instance. I reported here more than once that the most generally accepted population figure for this great beast in its heyday was in the vicinity of 60 million. That's really hard to get a handle on. We do have the report of Colonel Dodge, whose tour of duty was in the plains, of one herd that was, by his account, at least 20 miles across, and perhaps twice as long. He also describes lush grasslands, armpit deep to a man on horseback. He emphasizes the fact that even then, well over 100 years ago, the herds had been dramatically reduced in places, with dramatic effects on the prosperity of the plains Indian. Amazing, isn't it, that the greatest assemblage of hoofed mammals ever observed by man could appear to be thriving in 1850 and quite obviously on its way to oblivion just a few decades later. Across the forested portions of eastern North America reigns a phenomenon even more astronomic than the plains bison. No one really could ever estimate, let alone actually count, the numbers of passenger pigeons to be found there. It's possible that these 2 to 3 pound birds in total living appetite outweighed the bison hordes. The bison weighed in total at their acme about 90 billion pounds. One single flight, described by Alexander Wilson, an ornithologist of the early 1800s, was estimated to include over 2,230,000,000 birds and may have weighed 3 times as much as all of Dodge's great herd of bisons in the plains. How many companion flights may have simultaneously made their way northward, we have no way of knowing. It's no stretch of the imagination to suggest that the total may have matched or exceeded that of the bison. Impressive as the statistics may be, they fail completely in transmitting what it is like to be in the midst of these great congregations of animal flesh. The few seemingly accurate descriptions we have indicate that the sights, sounds, and smells, even the atmosphere itself, had an overwhelming impact on the observer. Whether the account detailed the herd life of the bison or the communal chaos that was a huge passenger pigeon rookery, it is impossible to imagine, much less truly understand, that which we can never witness. Aldo Leopold has expressed it this way: the pigeon was no mere bird. He was a biological storm. This biological storm assaulted the land with a certain fury. One description of the feeding habits of a flock of pigeons shows that they were like a biological vacuum cleaner, descending on the forest floor and removing everything edible, then moving on. Those who lament the passing of these unique populations should also remember that if we had, by some special foresight, moderated our persecution of the pigeon and the buffalo, they would soon have conflicted directly with our attempts to exploit the agricultural and industrial potential of the land. By the turn of the century, the removal of forests had reached the point where the land would no longer have supported the pigeons. You cannot change from habitat 100 feet deep, as was the virgin condition, to habitat less than 10 feet deep and still maintain status quo. Further, you can't expect a forest, which has permanently lost important species of food-producing trees, to support what it once did. It's a sobering thought, undoubtedly true, that our land today can no longer support what it did in virgin times. Still, the land is resilient. It can and will rebuild its rich potential if allowed to. Increasingly, however, we seem to be instituting roadblocks to this rebuilding process. There is a need, I believe, to realize that no civilization of the land is accomplished without cost. It isn't that I lament the fact that pigeons could no longer survive in tape measure numbers. They're all gone anyway. Admittedly, I wish a few at least had survived. I'd rather say, let's rejoice in the fact that the white-tailed deer, once removed by advancing agriculture, returned during the days of my youth, and that the wild pigeon has in more recent times returned to many ancestral grounds, and make sure that these adaptable, beautiful, and interesting parts of Americana make the journey with us into the 21st century. That's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.